Same guy. What guy? Same guy, this baby Jesus. As the skit tells us, grew up, became cross Jesus, became the one that paid the price for our sins. I don't know about you, but last week, if you're here last week, and it was so good that my sister, who was not here last week, she lives in Florida, down where it's warm at Christmas time. They don't have Christmas down there. We all know that, all right? It was so good that Mom shared with her that you need to see this video entitled Mary that we showed last week. And it was a powerful little video. She says that when she looks on the Christ child, she says, on my baby, and then she uses the phrase, my Redeemer. She goes, she knew he would change everything because the child had already changed her. I thought it was awesome. I was a mess last week when I got up to speak. I really was. It took me a while to kind of get through that. And it's still, there's so many, tonight when we're singing tonight, there's so many phrases, little phrases that come through in these Christmas hymns and carols and songs. Once in a while you catch a little bit of a phrase and it just grabs you. That everything changed with that Christ child. Now, I will tell you this, baby Jesus is at home right now. He was yesterday, somehow he made a move from the butler's pantry down to the basement. We have something in our house called a butler's pantry. Do not be impressed by that. Because whenever we bought the house 10 years ago, they told us it was a butler's pantry. You and I would call that a mud room, is what we would call that. That would be the room between your garage door, which you do all the entry in and out all the time, and the rest of the house, and that's where you kick off the shoes and you throw the coats, and it becomes the catch-all, and the backpacks are there, and the dog leash is hanging up, and you put the keys on the wall, and you know, you got one of those. So we've all got a butler's pantry. This last week, baby Jesus was on the counter, like most of the week. I remember seeing him. He had his swaddling clothes on. He was also wearing plaid. I thought that was very contemporary of him, actually. So baby Jesus was there, and then yesterday when I was in the basement, I noticed that baby Jesus made a move from the butler's pantry down to the basement. He still hadn't found his place in the unfinished portion of the basement, which I felt was kind of appropriate when you think he was born in a stable, laid in a manger. I thought, yeah, the unfinished portion of the basement is probably right for this doll that I have no idea where it came from. It was probably Rachel's. Okay. But he's not there, is where he's not. He's not in the manger. He's not in the feed trough. He's not there. Someone put on the neighborhood website. What's the thing called? Neighborhood? What is it? Next door. Next door or something? Yeah, yeah, okay. Everybody, you know, kind of signs up for it, and everyone says, I'm looking for a good plumber, okay, and that kind of thing, you know, stuff. Someone said the other day that baby Jesus was going missing. Somebody had been stealing baby Jesus off the lawn. I'm not making this up. It was like in this neighborhood, I think. Was it in this neighborhood or our neighborhood? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was getting to that, okay? It was in our neighborhood, okay? So baby Jesus was going missing from several houses. Then one person posted on the same site, I got six baby Jesuses on my porch. Of which I thought was actually kind of remotely funny. I was like, will the real baby Jesus please stand up, you know? I thought about the cradle, the manger being empty. And yes, he's the same Jesus, same guy, one guy who lives that perfect life on behalf of you and I, with you and I in mind. He lives that perfect life, becomes that sacrifice, becomes, he is our Redeemer. And I started asking myself this question this Christmas: what's the danger of leaving baby Jesus in the manger? What's the danger of doing that? And I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that can handle the baby Jesus. There was a movie not long ago, a Will Ferrell movie, where he plays a stock car driver. It's not the greatest of movies, okay? All right, well, it's got some parts, is all I'm saying. It's got some parts, young man. And one part is where he, when he leads a prayer, he prays to the baby Jesus. And he says, I like to picture Jesus as the baby. And the same statement virtually is made. You know he grows up. He says, yeah, but it's more important. It's kind of more important for him to see Jesus in the way he wants to see Jesus. Maybe rather than the way Jesus is to be seen. The totality of his life. Because the baby doesn't stay in the manger. It's easy. I wrote down a couple things about babies today. Here's my three main points on this. I hope you're ready. I'm glad you're sitting down because these are incredibly deep and these will change your life, okay? Number one, babies don't speak words. Babies don't come out articulate, not able to take their thoughts and put them in, you know, complete sentences. I know adults that can't use complete sentences, all right? But babies sure can't do it. They don't use words. They don't communicate with these words. Adults do. Babies don't make demands. Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I knew when I wrote that, I went, okay, we'll just see how long we go before the women say, and obviously you have never taken care of this baby, all right? Obviously you don't, but they don't vocalize demands. Oh, they cry. They probably struggle a bit to even make their needs known. Hey, one of the worst things that we've ever experienced as parents ever in our life is having a child that is sick, that cannot communicate what's wrong, and it's one of the most helpless feelings that we will ever, ever, ever have. And to think that God sent his son to take on that kind of vulnerability, that kind of helplessness, that kind of humble estate, if you will. You think, I struggle, God, to let you know how I feel. Could you possibly know how I feel? Oh, my goodness, now. Even the baby Jesus. Mary must have struggled at times to know what to do. So they don't articulate demands. They don't do that. The last one I wrote was this. Babies don't make judgment calls. They really don't make judgment calls. They don't use a lot of reasoning, a lot of rationale. They don't use a lot of logic, if you will. They don't make contracts. No baby's ever made a contract. If you do this, then I will do that. There's just every bit of this almost helplessness to being this, to holding this baby, this child. So with that said, I think that there are a lot of people this Christmas season that can handle Jesus as long as Jesus stays in the manger. As long as Jesus stays in the feed trough. As long as he becomes, you know, we're going to sing it tonight, away in a manger, you know, no crying he makes. I really believe baby Jesus cried. I really, really do. I don't know if radiant beams came from the Christ child's face. I think it looks good in a painting. I don't know if it was really that way or not. I don't know. I think it's easy to keep him as the child, but what happens when he grows up? What happens when we actually entertain the question, so why was it necessary for him to be here? Why are we celebrating all this? What's the ultimate result of this celebration that we have tomorrow morning when we celebrate that Jesus has been born? A Messiah has come. A Savior has come. So, what impact does that have on my life? Let me share a couple things with you before we go today. Some impact, some things that Jesus said, some words that the adult used, the baby didn't use, he used as an adult, some judgments that he put out there, some ways to evaluate and assess our lives that he put out there. Doesn't do that as the Christ child, he does that as our Savior. He does that as he lives out his life. I want you to consider some of the words that Jesus says. Here, let me give you a few of them here. Luke chapter 9. Jesus says to all the people, everybody say all. It's everybody, right? It's you and me. He says to all the people, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must forget yourself. You must take up your cross each day and follow me. If you want to save your life, you will destroy it. But if you give up your life for me, you will save it. Then he uses some logic. He says, use some rationale. He goes into adult talk. Here we go. What will you gain if you own the whole world but destroy yourself or waste your life? If you're ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. You must take up your cross each day and follow me. If you want to save your life, you got to give it away. If you want to save your life, you'll destroy it. Those are heavy words. Let's remind ourselves, it's the baby in the manger making these heavy words. He says, if you want to hold on to your life, I'll ask you to give it away. I'll ask you to live a life of sacrifice. Why is that? Because I am the Son of God, and I was born in the lowliest of circumstances, and you don't have an excuse. Oh, that doesn't sound very gracious. That doesn't sound very infant, you know, and glowing infant-like. I'm just telling you, he grows up. And when he grows up, he makes some demands. These aren't suggestions. This is not if you just kind of want to opt in, or if you want a little bit of Jesus. You want a $1.50 of Jesus, you know, to get you down the road. And that's about, he says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross. There will be some sacrifice to following me. It'll cost you something. Whew. Really? How about this one? Matthew 20. Jesus says to his disciples, you know that foreign rulers like to order their people around, and their great leaders have full power over everyone they rule, but don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. If you want to be first, you must be a slave of the rest. The Son of Man himself did not come to be a slave master, but a slave who will give his life to rescue many people. okay, wait a second now. So this innocent child grows up to say, something as radical as this. You want to be first? I got no problem with that. Did you hear me? Did you hear me today, church? Everybody here? He has no problem with you wanting to be first. He doesn't have a problem with you wanting to be great. He's just saying, we go about things a whole lot different than the world does. We look through a completely different lens. The biblical lens that we look through says this: if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you be the servant. You find someone to serve. You put yourself second. You want to be first? Get to the end of the line. You want to be great in the kingdom? Follow my example. Time out just for a second. Go back. He's born in a manger. Yeah, but we serve the King of Kings. We're King's kids. Yeah, your king was born around manure in a stable, appearing to shepherds who have no clout whatsoever, hanging out with fishermen and tax collectors. I got news for you. You're all crazy for being here right now. I just want you to know that. You're all half nuts for being in church this morning. It's a lot easier just to kind of go, well, I'm going to go follow the guru out here that tells me I'm going to make millions. I'm going to go get mine. I'm working my way up the ladder. I'll own the company one of these days. That's what it's all about. It's about the American way. It's about our dream. What I can accomplish. What I can accumulate. I don't read that so much right here. I'm not saying God doesn't care about your needs. And I'm not saying he doesn't even want to bless your wants. I'm just saying, I don't know how much of that aligns with the baby in the straw next to the donkey and the donkey droppings. I don't know how much that aligns with him. Just an interesting question, isn't it? There's a couple more. Let's do a couple more. Mark 10. This is a story about a guy who's got it all. He's attained everything now, okay? Rich young ruler. The man answers, teacher, I've obeyed all those commandments since I was a young man. Jesus looks closely at the man. He liked him and said, there's one thing you still need to do. Go sell everything you own. Give the money to the poor and you'll have riches in heaven. Then come follow me. What time out here? Wait a second. He tells the guy to sell everything he owns and comes. Yeah, he doesn't stammer. There's no stuttering there. There's no fine print. No, it's not one of those commercials where at the end of the commercial, the guy reads like 150 miles an hour and says all those things and stuff, you know, that really says, I'm not really truly telling you what you think you heard, you know, and so, but legally we have to, there's none of that. He just says, he looks at the rich young ruler and says, go sell everything you have and then come follow me. So you're saying to me that we have to sell? I'm not saying we have to sell everything. I'm saying that was the dude's biggest hang-up. And see, here's the thing. Jesus knew that. Can I tell you something today that I really want you to get this? And you know, if you've been in this church for 50 years or if you've been here for 50 minutes, it's the same. He knows you better than you know yourself. Don't feel like you can ever pull the wool over his eyes. Don't feel like you can be good enough, that you can work hard enough, or you can, you know, give enough or do this or stuff, that you're going to somehow earn favor. And he knows you, your ins and outs. He knows all those things that you think when nobody else would. ever know that you thought those things? What those things went through your mind? Or anything? He just knows you. Be straight up with him. Teacher, I've done all your commands. I've done lots of good things. I've done them since I was a kid. I've gone to church. I've done. I fit the mold really, really well. I'm good, right? And he looks at the rich young ruler. You need to go sell the stuff that you hold greater than me. You have more trust in that than you do me. You have more loyalty to that than you do me. He in essence says, I know that and you know that. So let's get right down to the heart of the matter. I want to be Lord over that as well. That's what I want. Think that's a little bit radical? Does that align with the baby Jesus? Wow. One more. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who calls me their Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones who obey my Father in heaven will get in. On the day of judgment, many will call me their Lord. They will say, we preached in your name, and in your name we forced out demons and worked many miracles. But I will tell them, I will have nothing to do with you. Get out of my sight, you evil people. Wait. Time out now. I thought the whole meaning of this entire thing was that I'm supposed to be a servant, I'm supposed to be last, and I'm supposed to be involved with ministry, which most likely means I got to come in and set up chairs. I thought that's what it really meant. Or actually, in this case, this season, come in and help tear down the stage. I thought this was just a ploy for us to, you know, to be involved in ministry and to do a lot of good things. I just read that we could do some really powerful looking things. Really powerful looking things. And we would look at people and say, listen, man, we did things in your name. We took authority over evil spirits for crying out loud. Look at what we did, he'll say. I don't know you. Do you see the priority here? It's not just admiration of a baby born in miraculous circumstances, proclaimed by the angels and declared to common humankind. It's not just the baby, the advent of our Savior. It is the life that he led, the commands that he gave, the standard that he established that says, this is what it means to be my follower. I want to leave you with this last thought today, simply this. That's a passage of truly of submission. We're to be servants, but we're to be submissive to the Spirit, and we're to be directed by the Spirit, and our actions are to be Spirit honoring, and it's not just about you fitting a mold this Christmas season. It's not about you just fitting, doing the right things in the eyes of others. Feeling okay about yourself because you do the right things in the eyes of others. He says, it's not just about action even. It's truly about relationship. It's about the guy standing at the Christmas tree that says, so the baby Jesus is the walk on water Jesus, who is the die on the cross Jesus, and he has the aha moment that says, maybe we should make this whole thing a whole lot more than just a Christmas thing. Once a year. Maybe it's about our lives declaring his life. What does that mean for you? I will give you something very simple and then something very difficult. The very simple thing is simply this. It means that we confess the sin of our life and we ask him to be our Savior. We open up this gift of salvation. We're going to give gifts tomorrow. Nobody's going to get that gift in that beautiful package with a great bow on top of it and just hold the package and say, this is exactly what I wanted. Do that for 20 minutes, and then people will look at you and go, you know, been in the cider a little too much or something. I don't know, you know, whatever else you're drinking, you know what I'm saying? It's not about the outside. It's about what's on the inside of the package. Open up the package. That's the intent. It's what's on the inside. It's what's been given to you. And so the very easy thing is to understand this. Salvation has been given to us. The price has been paid. Once and for all, done, boom, covers our sin, awesome. That's the easy part. Honestly, the easy part is to be able to say, Lord, in and of my own flesh, yeah, I need you. I need a Savior. I need you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my Lord. But we do salvation, a disservice, maybe? Disservice when we somehow we make a relationship with God just this, I don't know, ATM process. We don't realize that he says, you need to follow me now. And my words will challenge you and will stretch you. That's the reason I look at any young person and say the most radical thing you could ever do is not live like this world does. You want to be radical and you want to be different, by all means, follow Jesus. I'll read you the last one. I'm not sure this is the way to end the Christmas morning or not. But I think it's just really interesting in light of Christmas. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus says, don't think that I came to bring peace to the earth. Don't think I came to bring peace to the earth. I came to bring trouble, not peace. I came to turn sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, and daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Your worst enemies will be in your own family. You all need to memorize that before tomorrow, okay? If you love your father or mother, or even your sons and daughters more than me, you are not fit to be my disciples. Unless you are willing to take up your cross and come with me, you are not fit to be my disciples. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will surely find it. So, sounds like an interesting Christmas morning, huh? With family. What do you say? I'm just saying simply this: that Christ child, born in the lowliest and most humble of circumstances, who comes and lives the life of his creation, so that we might have access to who God is, who has no reason to die for any kind of penalty that he would deserve in any way, shape, or form, but does that because it's the Father's will and does that on behalf of you and me, he can make that demand. And he does. He desires to be the number one priority for you this Christmas and every day the remainder of the year. Lord, I thank you that you are a radical God. I thank you, Father, that if we were to write this story, we would never place the King of Kings in a lowly manger. I thank you, Father, that you you loved us enough, Father, to come down to our level, that we might know the very heart of God. And I also thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that you sent, because there is no way we're going to live up to these demands without the power of you in our life. There's just no way. So, Father, be honored in all that we say and do, and give us a great Christmas, Father, with family. Flow through us by your Holy Spirit. Give us the words to say to be an encouragement. Father, most of all, let people see the priority that is you, Father, in our lives. And I thank you for that. Bless the remainder of this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. We will not have any discussion groups today. We do invite you to come back tonight. 7 o'clock. We'll be right at an hour service. We will sing a lot of great Christmas songs this evening. Another cool video that you'll enjoy. Invite your family. Bring them all out. Drag them all out. I think they'll enjoy it once they get here. God bless. Enjoy the day. And the city.